Thank you very much. Good afternoon, all protocols observed. My gratitude for a number of reasons. I will single out three reasons now. First of all, for organizing this event, which I also consider to be a process, but also for not forgetting the minority children. It's not something that we take for granted as the Committee on the Rights of the Child, and for the positive gesture accorded to me to be here with you today. As mentioned, Biniam is my name, I'm Ethiopian, and I don't say my nationality as a simple thing. It brings with it a lot of sense of gratitude and a whole range of other feelings. And obviously there are many who can't say the same about their nationality. Statelessness definitely is a minority issue. It's not a minor issue, as some states would like to believe. It's an issue that significantly affects minorities that are minors, that are children. So it's very much a children's rights issue as well. Now, what statelessness and its civil consequences for children and minority children in particular would involve would definitely fit into books, and I'm not going to have the luxury to state here. I just want to single out a couple of points. First, it's that it has a lifelong and intergenerational negative impact. When you are a child, a minority child that is stateless, it has long-lasting effects. It also deprives children the opportunity to give life the best shot that they can actually give it. Because usually, the discrimination actually starts even before the child is actually born. There aren't many violations of the Convention on the Rights of the Child that have intergenerational effect, but also start before the child actually comes into this world. Now, as the Committee on the Rights of the Child, 25 years jurisprudence, we have grown in leaps and bounds in terms of covering the issue of statelessness and stateless children. And I'm going to single out some of the angles that we've tried to look at in our engagement with state parties to the convention, which of course 196 countries are state party to, with the exception of the United States. The first is obviously the ratification of international treaties. And here I'm not just only talking about the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, but also regional instruments, including the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, but also international instruments that we've been talking about in the last 2 days, including the two statelessness conventions. We've often tried to emphasize to states that they need to withdraw reservations to Article 2, to Article 7, to Article 22 of the Convention on the Rights of the Child, but also the reservations to the CEDAW Convention. Now, a number of these engagements are actually very interesting. Some of the counter arguments that states make, the reasons why they don't want to withdraw the reservations, seem to suggest that they want to continue to discriminate on the basis of law. Obviously, the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women is about non-discrimination. And a number of the reservations that we have seen come to the Committee on the Rights of the Child seem to suggest that states want to continue violating the provisions of the convention, but also violating the conventions on the elimination of discrimination against women. The other third point that I want to emphasize is collection of data. National averages do not help to push the boundaries for the realization of children's rights, and this is more so in the context of minority children that are actually stateless. We want to have disaggregated data. We want to look at the demographic profile, the statistical makeup of the population, including age, gender, language, and so forth. The location is important, the causes, the status, the protection concerns, the stakeholders, but equally more importantly, attitudes, the extent to which the perception of the situation by different parties may influence finding a solution. There has been a lot of discussion about birth registration, and I'm not going to repeat some of the points that have been made here. In moving forward, we try to also emphasize the point that granting nationality is not something that can actually wait. It is something that needs to be done expeditiously. I have said in many platforms the famous saying, children are the future. And I try to emphasize the point that children are sick and tired of being the future. They want to be a meaningful part of the present in order to be a meaningful part of the future. And the issue about granting of nationality is absolutely critical, and time is often the essence. We have seen a number of examples where administrative uncertainties and loopholes that actually require jumping through so many unnecessary cumbersome ropes, which in a number of instances are difficult to understand for adults, let alone for children. And we've tried to emphasize the point that this would often go against the best interest of the child, which is a provision within the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The application of non-discriminatory and non-retroactive citizenship policies and practices is an issue that we often engage with states that come before the committee, and we try to call on them to address this. In the interest of time, I want to come to the point that all is not doom and gloom. In fact, there are a number of examples that we have seen as a committee where states have been making a number of progress. For instance, a number of countries have actually come up with legislation that provides for the nationality of children beginning from birth. We have seen a number of instances where state law and practice actually adopts jus soli as a background where if there is a gap in the law, the children would not be otherwise stateless. We have seen a number of examples of identification of stateless communities, particularly children. I think a number of points have been made about the example in Thailand, the example in Kenya, and I think there are a number of other examples that states should be congratulated for. To conclude, I just want to put some food for thought here. How many of the states in this room, for instance, raise issues of citizenship of minorities in the UPR process? There was a very interesting analysis that the previous special rapporteur on minorities did, and I think that that should shed a bit of light in terms of the way forward. As the Committee on the Rights of the Child, are we being too prescriptive, for instance, when we try to push for the jus soli principle with a view to address children who would otherwise be stateless? How should the burden of proof be done when there are contests between whether or not a certain child actually should access nationality from country X or from country Y? Is it not important that child law, not just only immigration, migration law, but also child law actually cover issues of statelessness, particularly with a focus on children that are actually minorities? From our experience in the last 25 years, one thing comes out very clearly. If the best interest of the child means anything at all, if there is a clear realization that the cost of inaction is more than the cost of action, then it's about time that states take this issue very seriously and move the provisions of the Convention on the Rights of the Child from being a wish list to being a to-do list. Thank you, Chair.